You want to hear? Hmm? Okay. Hold on a second. I've got to turn down the gain before I open the window, or it's gonna peak. I don't know if you can actually hear anything I was saying, so I'll say it again. This is what's been going on. This is what we're hearing down here near the hole. Also, to those of you who asked, no, I didn't. I haven't moved again. Paradigm was kind enough to send somebody to improve the soundproofing in my apartment after I made my last audio post. I mean the post before last. The one before I took my, sort of, hiatus. Anyway, no, I haven't moved. The hole is just as goddamn loud as always, I just don't have to hear it as much. And on bad days, my apartment still shakes. But yes, this is it. This is the spooky sound that scared a nation with just a little help from one Mr. Emrys Lord and his physical truth. Which, now that you've all taken the time to explain it to me, sounds like a combination of freelance sensationalist disaster journalism and one guy with a mic solo opinion podcasting. Which is something. Certainly something. I know things have changed. I say that just so much. And I mean it every time. Things have changed. And I know that. But there is fucking nothing anyone will ever be able to do or say that will convince me a guy whose idea of content is running around taking anonymous testimonies from people who aren't willing to substantiate their claims or identify themselves as, at best, at absolute best, this guy is a patsy. And if he is, I just feel kind of bad for him. But that's assuming... Look, me believing that involves having to accept the idea that at no point during the last, what, 3 years? At no point did he knowingly receive and disseminate information from an obviously unreliable source. It's a lot easier for me to believe that all of his sources are fabricated than it is to believe all of his sources are sincere. I'm sorry, but no matter how much some of you seem to like this guy, I'm never going to be able to look at him and see anything but a grifter. And I still see a grifter. The hole is making a noise. It's making a weird noise. It's making a noise that isn't all that much weirder than the noises it normally makes. Listen to me. A strange sound coming from the sinkhole is not the same as a strange sound coming from your fridge or your heating system or your air conditioner. It's not something you hear and then call someone in to diagnose. The reason you do that for something like a household appliance is because you don't actually have to know anything to know the presence of an unexpected sound indicates some potential disruption in function. You call someone because even if you don't know how it works, you know it's not supposed to rattle or moan or drip. That's not something we can say about the sinkhole. We don't know why or even how the sinkhole makes these sounds. Any of them. So there's really no way for us to know if the sounds it makes today are any less or more weird than the sounds it makes tomorrow or the sounds it made last week. There's no metric of normalcy, just what we've gotten used to expecting and what we haven't. Until such a time as the hole starts actually doing something, There is really no goddamn point in getting worked up. It's like living next to a volcano and getting scared not because it started smoking, but because it stopped. Or, no, not even that. It's still smoking. The smoke just looks different. Just, yeah, if the ground starts shaking, sure, then I'll worry. But before then, there's really no way to know if something's wrong. It's a waste of energy to get freaked out over. This is relevant, right? It's definitely relevant. Why don't we talk about the importance of substantiating information? Because this is actually something I have noticed is a pretty significant problem in this community. And it was already kind of a problem before, when I was not growing up, I guess, just before the whole. Over my time in this community, you might have noticed a trend of me quietly slipping into threads and posting links or fun little facts here and there when somebody shared something that turned out to be inaccurate. But I never really said anything because this community's primary focus is the retrieval and restoration of information from older devices. So what's on them and how true it is, it's not that it doesn't matter. It's just that a lot of this stuff is very subjective and very personal. So things can get a little sticky when you're trying to draw the line, you know? But I think I need to finally draw the line. There's sort of two separate issues at play here. The first is misconstrued satire, and that shit is older than dirt. I'm sure when Jonathan Swift wrote A Modest Proposal, never for a fucking second did he think someone would read it and earnestly believe he was proposing that the solution to the poverty of Irish farmers was for them to sell their children to the rich as meat. I believe it was stewed, roasted, baked, or boiled. I think that's what he said. It's a cartoonishly evil thing to suggest. No one could possibly believe he was sincere. And yet, the issue with satire is the further it gets from the context in which it was created, the more likely it is to be misunderstood. I remember being in high school and getting into an argument with one of my classmates because he was convinced A Modest Proposal was, well, exactly what it looked like. Because to him, looking at this outrageous thing, this thing that was written almost 300 years ago, yeah, sure, maybe people were just like that back then, you know? So sometimes someone will post something here, and I will look at it and I will know it is satire and was intended to be satire because I recognize the context in which it was created. And then I have to ask myself, is it worth it? Is it really worth it to take the time to correct someone about the sincerity of a 40-year-old meme talking about how to correctly pair detergent pods and wine vintages? If I think it's something one of you might actually do, I say something. Otherwise, I usually don't. But I think everyone here could benefit from a little more critical engagement. Especially when it comes to the second type. Intentional fakes. Forgeries. Hoaxes. Everyone do me a favor and just Just go take a moment to look up the Cottingley Fairies. That's Cottingley. Cottingley. Just to get a visual. In brief, in the early 1900s, a couple of girls, young girls, took the time to stage a pair of photographs that appeared to show them in contact with fairies. Now, obviously not everybody believed these photos were genuine. But some people did. Including their own mother. She believed. And because she believed, she presented those photos to other people, some of whom also believed. And one of those people was Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who you may recognize as the author of Sherlock Holmes. Once Doyle got involved, those two photos of the Cottingley Fairies went on to be published and shared, and the girls were given the resources to take more photos. And they did. They went right ahead and staged three more photos of the Cottingley Fairies. I think that was 1920-ish. Neither of them admitted it was a hoax until the 1980s. 60 years is a long time. And while little girls taking pictures of fairies might seem pretty innocuous, all things considered, I'd bet you good money that at least one person's life was ruined by it. Because that's the nature of falsehoods when they're told at that scale. Well-meaning people who want to believe in something incredible get swept up in the momentum of what should be an amazing revelation, and they go chasing answers that don't exist and can't be found. People have had their lives ruined by things like this. And a lot of the time, it's just because they dared to believe something unbelievable. Believed it uncritically and without question. And this is something that always used to get me a lot of flack, but maybe people will be more receptive to it now. I don't think it's right to mock people for wanting to believe in the sincerity of others. I just don't think it's fair to blame somebody for being the victim of a con, no matter how obvious that con might feel to you. And I know that makes me sound like a hypocrite because of what I've said about Amorous Lord, but it doesn't. It isn't. My saying that and my saying this, those aren't two separate things. They're the same thing. I'm not angry at you for not knowing better. You shouldn't have to know better. It's because there are people in this world who will create falsehoods just to say they did, just to glory in how many people they led astray. If that wasn't the case, I'd never say a word about it. Because I don't think it's wrong of you to not know better. Just that there are people who will take advantage of that. And I can't stop them. I can't make them not do that. It's not within my power. So all I can do is try to teach you to be a little less trusting, as fucking grim as that sounds. It's always been easier to create fakes and forgeries using older tech. Always. Less layers of authentication, fewer tells, less fidelity. There's a reason photos of ghosts and cryptids and UFOs look like that. Poor light balance, blurriness, graininess. It's so much easier to hide or explain away the tells of a forgery in the technological limitations of an old machine. And this community is open and excited and always ready for the next adventure. You send each other things and you receive the things you're sent in full, quantifiable faith that the sender is in earnest. But I don't think it would hurt, when presented with something unbelievable by somebody who believes it, to consider just who might have given it to them. I'm not asking you not to trust each other, or not to trust the data. I'm just saying, maybe there's an adventure to be found in the truth beneath the truth. Maybe something can be just as exciting for knowing it isn't real as it can be for being real. If that makes sense. This is getting a little long. And I've got some stuff to do. But I'll pick up and talk more about this later, okay? Stay safe. And try not to fall into any holes.